All right, so Matthew chapter 24, back there again. And we're going to pick up in verse 38. And the reason for that is because I'm going to save the portion of Christ's return for another message. But I want to deal with the attitudes, the end times attitudes, okay? Or end times attitudes. And kind of talk about what our attitude is supposed to be like and what the Bible says the attitudes will be like when Christ comes in that end time, when he makes his appearing, and kind of look at that and give us some warnings about what we should be doing and how we should be doing it and things of that nature. So we're going to look at some verses here tonight and hopefully kind of break them down. Let's pray. Father, Lord, please help us. And we need wisdom and guidance, Lord. We need not be distracted by anything, Lord. Help our hearts to be attentive to the Word. Lord, we need the Word of God. We need it preached to us verse by verse, and we need to fill our hearts with it, Lord, and our minds with it. Lord, Satan's after every aspect of our lives. He wants to destroy us. He wants to hurt us. He wants to falsely accuse us. He wants to demean us, Lord, and distract us from the work that you've called us to do. And Lord, may nothing stop us. May we let nothing stop us, Lord, and let no man take our crown and fight the good fight of faith. Lord, help us to do that, please. Lord, we pray. I pray your Spirit would move tonight in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so let's talk about some of these attitudes. Verse number 38, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 38, actually 37. Jesus talks about in 36, of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So the Bible is dealing here. Jesus is telling them, look, when the coming of the Son of Man, when I come, this is what the attitudes are going to be like on the earth. This is how people are going to be. And it's just like the days of Noah. So we remember those days of Noah. When we go back to that, we remember that he's giving us kind of a little picture of what the days of Noah were like, what their attitudes were like when Noah was getting on the ark. And have you ever noticed how there is such a... I'm not that disturbed when people attack preachers. I'm really not. When they get angry at preachers, I'm not that disturbed by that. When they cuss them out, when they lie about us, or when they get mad at us and they get angry with us and they flick us off and they spit at us, and that's not really that shocking. That's been going on. You know the most disturbing thing that you could find, I think, if you start to really look at it, here's the most disturbing thing. When they're not moved at all, when it doesn't bother them at all, and they go on with their life as if nothing matters. They go on what? Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they don't care about God. That's more disturbing. Give me a man that's angry and cussing me out over a man that doesn't pay attention at all and just walks on by and has no response to the gospel message, has no response as the law is brought out, has no response at all. That right there is a very, very sad thing. That's something, and that's what Jesus is talking about. When he comes back again, they're going to be like the days of Noah. In that time, you know, they're just going to be eating and drinking. Noah's building an ark, and yeah, sometimes they're laughing at him, but really, they're not paying attention. They really could care less. Noah's out there preaching and telling, look, the flood's coming. You're all going to die. It's coming. God's going to drown the whole earth, and they don't care. They don't care. That's the spirit. That's the way it is today. You preach the gospel to them, they don't care. Many people. There's still many that do, but they don't care. And I'm telling you, the careful thing is, now, let that not be said about the people of God. Let it not be said that we have careless attitudes, not discerning the times, ignoring the warnings, not watching as these end times unfold in front of our eyes. That ark was a sign of his coming or of sudden destruction. But their attitude was live and let live. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. party and party and party some more. What does that mean then? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means the same thing it does for the people of God, and that's this. They had a lack of sobriety. And what marks these times before Christ's return? The attitude. Listen to me. The attitude of these times is what? A lack of sobriety. People aren't sober. Now, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean they're all drunk? Yes, on something. But you pick your poison. They could be drunk on liquor, right? They could be drunk on liquor. Or they could be drunk on the affairs of this life and the cares of this world. That the Bible says chokes the word and it becomes unprofitable. It becomes unfruitful in their lives. No one wants to have a serious conversation. Everything has to make you laugh and be a joke. Nothing can be serious. Not taking eternity serious. That's the end times attitude, will be drunken with the affairs of this life. This trafficking, I think, what is it, Mark chapter 4, I think it is. The parable of the sower, right? Sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Let me ask you a question. Are you letting thorns choke the word? There's an application here for the saved, too. Are you letting thorns choke the word? Are you letting the cares of this, the affairs of this life choke the word out? What's your passion for? What you talk about most is what you're passionate about. Is it not true? Huh? What you talk about most is what you're passionate about. Now I understand we have to go to work, we have to do this. That's, everybody gets that, okay? But what you talk about most is what you're passionate about. Do the affairs of this life, do they choke the word? Is the word of God too serious for you? Is it too sober for you? Is it too sober? Is God's word too sober for you? Because that is part of that end times attitude, that lack of sobriety. Is it too sober for you? Would you rather have the thorns that choke the word? Right? And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know, there's one thing that you have to that you have to understand. Where the word of God is preached, we will never be comfortable being figureheads. We will never be comfortable just being like having a form of godliness. We will never be comfortable with just, I intend to never let worldliness become comfortable to you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Listen to me very closely. I want you to understand something. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. You say you're on this right now. No, I'm going to stay on this right now. Because here's the thing. I spend a lot of time with the Lord away from the world. And I bring that to you, the time that I commune with God and the time that I pray. And I bring it to you because I want you to understand that God wants you to dwell with Him. God wants you to live your life with Him. He does not want you to live your life here like you are comfortable, like you like this world, like you love this world. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves. That doesn't mean that we're not kind to people. That doesn't mean we don't love people. It means that we are not drunken. We are not taken with the affairs of this life. We are not hypnotized by the affairs of this life. We are not drawn away by the lust of this world that chokes the word. And I'm telling you, you start drinking what the world offers, you're going to get drunk from it. And this will not seem good enough to you. This message that is preached, this gospel that is preached, this book that is held up, this word will not be enough for you. You will search after the lust of your own flesh because this will not satisfy you, because you're trying to satisfy the flesh and not walk in the Spirit. And this preaching will never satisfy your flesh. It will war against it. And I intend for it to war against my own sin and yours and anyone else's. I intend, and God intends it to be. God intends it to be that way. That you never be comfortable in your sin. That you never be comfortable in worldliness. That you never be comfortable in this world. Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. I ain't got nothing here, man, but my family and you. That's it. I ain't got nothing else. And we're all just pilgrims here. And we're traveling on. Yep, we're traveling on. You better not get stuck in Vanity Fair. Because we're traveling on. We're going home someday. We stick around long enough, we'll watch him born. I'll marry him and bury him. And you'll bury me someday. And put on my grave, I trusted Christ. And I lived for him. And I fought the good fight and I finished my course and I kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And then I held back nothing that was profitable unto you. But their attitude was live and let live, this lack of sobriety. The end times attitude. They'd be drunken with the affairs of this life, just taken with it. Just they're not paying attention to spiritual things. Everything else takes precedence. Everything else distracts. Everything else is more important. Let me ask you a question. What's the favorite thing that you have to do in this life, whatever it may be? Maybe you have a hobby. I want to ask you, do you pay as much attention to the Lord as you do your hobby? Do you pay as much attention to the Lord? And I don't mean as far as time goes. What I'm talking about is your intensity. Do you follow hard after Christ like you follow hard after what you like to do or what your interests are? Do you follow hard after Christ? Oh, what do you think? Do you? Do we follow hard after Christ? You know what that means, don't you? I'll tell you what it means. It means what that poor woman had for years, that doctors and nobody else could heal her infirmities and her flesh. And she crawled to get to Christ. She crawled to get to him just to touch the hem of his garment. And virtue went out of him. You know what that virtue is? It's moral purity. That's energy. That's the power of moral purity from God. And she followed hard after it. And you need to follow hard after Christ. And you need to be sober. Because this world wants you to act like a fool. And you don't need any help acting like a fool. None. I never had to have anybody teach me how to act like an idiot. Right? Don't laugh, Garrett. It's true. Your wife is like, don't you dare do it. Don't you dare do it. No, but you know what? Nobody has to teach us that, right? Nobody has to teach us how to act like that. Act like, you don't have to, hey, did you know you, now some of you moms know this. All of you, not some of you, all of you moms know this. And all of you dads too, but most of you moms know it too. You didn't have to teach your kid to act foolish. Did you? You didn't have to teach your son or daughter to act foolish, did you? No. What does the Bible say? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's already there. Nobody has to teach it. It's there. It's in a fallen nature. It's there already. Nobody has to teach us to act foolish, do they, Lee? It's already bound in our heart, isn't it? It's already there. You didn't say, well, where'd you learn that from? How'd you figure out how to do that? And why'd you think that was a good idea? Well, did anybody? Nobody showed me that. I just figured that out myself. Yeah, because it ain't hard for you to figure out how to be a fool. It's not. Is it? Not at all. So you know what? We have to learn to be sober. How do I learn to be sober? Here's how I learn. I abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I learn to look at what the world offers me. I look beyond the glimmer and the shine. And I see it's nothing but a tarnished turd. It's really what it is. It really stinks. That's right. And you count it all but dung that you may win Christ. I look at it and I say, you know what? This is what the world's offered me, but I'm not biting. You know that when you know what it means to be lured, right, Zach? You've used lures before, right? When you went fishing. What do lures do? They attract, don't they? So if you shine it, but what's connected to a lure? Ah. Please don't be a dumb fish. Please don't be a dumb fish and bite for every lure the world offers you. Don't be attracted to every lure. Don't. There's a hook with it. There's a hook with it. It's going to hook you in and take your heart. It's a snare. That's right. The Bible says not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. What does that mean? You ever been tangled up in something? You just couldn't get out. You ever seen those animals that get tangled up in traps and tangled up and they can't get out? You've seen deer before and other animals that they're tangled up and their legs are all tangled in something and they're doing their best to get loose, but they can't. And it just gets worse. They just keep tangling themselves up worse. That's what this world will do to you. You got to be sober. The end times attitude, that's what happened. Also, trafficking, verse number 42. Oops, I gotta get back to my chapter here. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Oh, I used a different verse. I'm sorry, but anyway, the point of the matter is that trafficking will be robust. You know, what do I mean by that? Because this world wants to keep you busy, and I'm not even talking about the trafficking of men, which is part of it, but the affairs of this life to keep you busy. There's always something that can keep you busy, always, and it's always easier for you to do something and serve the Lord in whatever capacity God wants you to. It's always easier to forego your own spiritual responsibilities to do something else. Something more glamorous. What's that verse, brother? I'm going to talk about that verse. Yep. Yep, I am. I'm going to talk about that verse. Yep. Soon. In this message here. So, you know, we're going to be taken. We can be taken by all this stuff and be busy. Busy, 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 busy with everything. There's ever so busy. And it's a sin to be that busy. Do you understand that? It is. We are to, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, yes. But there is a time for you to, there's a season and a time for you to be with your family. There's a season and a time for you to spend time with them, to nurture your children, to grow them up in their faith, to be there for your wife, to be there for your, there's a time of, for that. There's a time that you spend doing that. There's a time that you spend, and you don't get distracted. There's a time of serving the Lord where you don't distract yourself with everything. Look, this world will throw everything at you. And it'll keep you busy trafficking, running to and fro through the earth, and walking up and down in it. That's what Satan does. That's the end time sin, the trafficking that's going to take place. Satan's going to be trafficking. And part of that is just to keep God's people so busy, so distracted, that they have no time for God. And they're not profitable servants at his coming. Their attitude is that of a lack of sobriety and a lack of being trafficked. Right? The Bible says we should be watchful. We should have an attitude of watchfulness, which is the opposite of being distracted and lulled to sleep by this world, entertained, and our mind being detained from reality. You know, you don't need an escape from reality. You're not a victim. We are victors, not victims. We do not need an escape from reality. Oh, I gotta just go have a bunch of, spend my life having fun. No, you don't. No, you don't. Your life is, look, if you teach your children that most of their life is about having fun, and then there's a little bit of work and a little bit of duty and a little bit of responsibility, we are going to raise some horrible children. We really are. I'm just telling you right now, we're going to raise some bad kids. If our children think that the sum total of their life is to have fun all the time. Now, listen, there is a time for them to have that. And boys and girls, the Bible says boys and girls should play. It says that. Talks about in Jerusalem, the boys and girls will play in the city. And they should. They should. We should have that. Don't rob them of that either, okay? I'm not telling you to rob them of that so they can't be children. But you are training them to be adults, not training them to be kids. So as you train them to be adults, to mature, to know that there's work. There's you got to sit with your children. What do you say? You know, I know you want to do all these things, and you want to go have fun, but we have responsibilities. We have a bedroom to take care of. We have our clothes to take care of. We have our toys to take care of and put away. Or we don't have toys anymore. We have all of these things to do. We have responsibilities for what God has given us. We are stewards over those things, and we must take care of those things. And our duties come before everything else. I find myself teaching my children that more and more. Right? We have over and over and over and over, and myself over and over and over and over, right? To understand that there are things that we must do first. But so we need to be watchful, not lulled to sleep by everything else. Look what the Bible says, Matthew 24, verse number 41. Watch and pray. You need to have a watchful attitude. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 25, 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Watch. What does that mean? I'm going to give you a few definitions of this word. Because I think that you only look at it as like, well, watch me. Just keep my eyes right there and watch. No, that's part of it. That's not all of it. Would you wake up and get some religion? Would you please get some Bible religion? Would you? And religion's not a bad word. If you think it is, then you need some religion. All right? Because you don't understand the Bible. Religion's not a bad word, okay? Now, anyway, so listen to me. You need to start studying more. Well, it just means you keep your eyes and you watch. Well, that's part of it, but there's more. What does it mean? It means attention, close observation, keep watch of the suspicious man. Guard. To put a watch out means to put a guard out. You have your watch. Go see to it. That's what Pilate said to them, right? You have your watch. You have a guard. So what is he saying? When we're to have a watchful attitude in these end times, what does that mean? Set a guard, vigilance for keeping or protecting against danger. It means, look, if you, Dave, you're in law enforcement, all right? What happens in law enforcement, especially like in a prison or any place like that, if you are distracted? Many things. Danger. If they can distract one of those guards, then they can plan things, they can plot things, they can do things. Well, if you saw Satan as your true enemy, then you would see that if you're not watching and you're distracted by this world, if you're distracted by the cares of this life, if you're distracted by all those things, you're not watching, and you're about ready to get hit with a billy club upside the head. That's what's about ready to happen to you. I'm going to tell you that right now. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I know for certain, from experience, let me tell you, I have served the Lord and done what God has called me to do, and I'm telling you, a lack of sobriety has crept in at times, and man, I got hit with a spiritual billy club upside the head and went, what was that? I just spent 2 years of my life being fooled. What was that? I'm seeing stars. You understand that? Because even something that is good can get you off of the main thing and can steal your love and your heart and your compassion and distract you and hurt you. And it doesn't have to be inherently evil. It just has to be a distraction from the main thing. It has to be a distraction. Oh, is Satan good at it? That's why it says to watch. He kept both watch and ward. A watchman or watchmen. Men set for a guard, either one person or more, set to espy the approach of an enemy or other danger, and to give an alarm or notice of such danger. A sentinel, a guard. He kept a watch at the gate. You have a watch. Go your way. Another definition, the place where a guard is kept is a watch. a post or an office of a watchman, as I did stand my watch upon the hill. It's also considered a period of the night in which one person or one set of persons stands as sentinels, and they guard and they watch for that particular time was split into four by the Jews, four watches. Right? To be on watch, to look steadfastly, to be awake. That means to watch. It means to be awake. It means to be awake. To be attentive. It means to continue without sleep. To be attentive, to look with attention or steadiness. Watch and see when the man passes. To look with expectation. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. To keep guard. To be attentive. To look for danger. You can't do that if you're distracted. You know what the devil tries to do to soldiers, don't you? And what soldiers, they create diversions and tactics. That's what Satan does to distract you. So with Christians, what he does is it could be a number of different things, many different things, but worldliness and the attraction of it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all a distraction. And do you understand that it doesn't have to be something evil? It doesn't have to be. It can be a lack of sobriety concerning work, where you turn work into your idol. And upward mobility is all you think of. It can be money or finances. It could be a woman. It could be a man. It could be anything else that distracts you from your duties. Because it always seems better to do those things than focus on the things that you already have. Right? So you become distracted. You're not watching. You've got to have a watchful attitude. As we walk through this, these are dangerous, perilous times. We talked about what the times were like. Now, what's the attitude supposed to be in the times? Sober. Watchful. Watching. But look how it works. You cannot be sober. You cannot be sober. Or you cannot be watchful if you're not sober. You can't be. If you're carried away with everything else and everything but serving God is more important, you can't be watchful. Is everything more important than serving God? That's the wrong question. You know what question I should ask? Is anything more important than serving God? Is anything more important to you than your devotion to God? Look, I'm not talking about soul winning. I'm not talking about street preaching. I'm talking about your devotion with God. I'm talking about you and God and nobody else. You understand me? That's what I'm talking about. And I want to ask you, is there anything more important than that? If there is, let me help you. Stamp idol on it and crush it. Put it in subjection to the Son of God. You know what you're going to have to do? You don't want to do it. You're going to lay down your idols. You don't want to do it. You first don't want to admit that it's an idol. You second don't want to lay it down. You like your little tiki god you set up, and you don't want to let it go. Is that too sober? Is that too straightforward? Good. It's going to get better. Because it needs to be. It needs to be so plain that you know in your heart, I cannot argue with that. I don't like the fact that he said it. Because it's true. But I can't really argue with that. Of course not. Because you know it to be true. You've set things up before God. And that's why John said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Right? The children are you. Not the lost. It's you. It's us. We're the children he's talking to. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why? Well, because of course Christians aren't going to set up an altar to Baal. Well, some of them might not know it with some Christmas trees. And I haven't yet. I've kind of withheld that this year a little bit. I'm feeling a little like the Grinch. Here's the point. Okay, if we're not sober, we can't watch. Sober people watch. When you're drunk, thank God many of you have never been. Thank God. There's no glamour in it. You act like a bumbling fool when you are. Amen. Worse than a fool, right? But anyway, what in the world is this? Why do I have to poke somebody with that? I better put that down. I don't think it's mine. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I was talking about. Now I lost my train of thought. Fools, that's right, drinking alcohol. Foolish. You act like a fool. And you know what? You don't pay attention to what you're doing. You don't pay attention. All the boundaries are destroyed, and you act like a fool. Right? That's what we do when we're drunk like that. Well, when you're drunk on the affairs of this life, you're not paying attention to God. You're not paying attention to the boundaries. You're not abstaining from all appearance of evil. You're not being cautious. You're not being careful. You're not sober. And you can't be awake. That you can't watch because you're not sober. You would never. Hey, when a guy, my brother-in-law was talking about that. When somebody gets on a ship or whatever, if they can't stand up or whatever, I mean, they're pretty loose with that, like drunken like a sailor, right? But they still, if you can't stand up and say, hey, I need permission to board the ship, then you ain't getting on. Or if you do get on, you're gonna be in the brig. But right? Because you don't want that guy guarding that ship. You don't want that guy in any responsibility. You don't want that drunk running around anywhere like that, getting in trouble and hurting something. You know what? The same thing goes, why? Because he's not going to pay attention to anything. He can't. And that's what I'm saying. If you're not sober, you can't watch. Do you understand? You're not a good watch. 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things. All things. Watch. You know, Timothy was a preacher. He was an evangelist. Did the work of a pastor and an evangelist, made full proof of his ministry. And what does Paul tell the young man? He says, but watch thou in all things. Oh, how I wish I had a pastor tell me that when I was younger in the ministry than I am now. Watch. God told me in his word. I wish I would have paid attention better to some of those things. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Endure afflictions. 1 Peter 4:7. Talk about the same times that Jesus is describing. What's the right attitude? But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. What does he say first? He says, what's the order? Be sober. And then what? And watch unto prayer. We should have a prayerful attitude. We need to have a watchful attitude. And a watchful attitude is an attitude of prayer. Hey, you want to know how spiritual you are? How much time do you spend with the Lord in prayer? I don't mean the quantity of time. I mean the quality of it. Are you earnestly and fervently fiery and with it? Do you ever cry? Have you ever wept to God? Have you nothing to weep over? Have you no lost family members that are going to hell? Have you no family members to weep for their souls? When you see brothers and sisters going astray away from God, have you no tears to weep for them? Have you not a family member that's wrong with God? Have you been more angry with your lost family members than you've been sorrowful and cried out to God and lifted their name up in prayer? Have you been broken? Have you never been broken over your own sin, the indwelling sin that dwells in you and that sticks you? You have nothing to weep over? Nothing? Then I would say that you're not being sober, you're not watching, and you're not truly praying. I don't believe in people being overly emotional. But I know this, that God has heard everything of my weakness, and I have poured it out like water to him. Have you never been afraid? Have you never poured out your heart in prayer to God that you were afraid? Have you ever told God that you were afraid? Have you ever come to him as a child and said, Lord, I am scared. Please help me. Nothing to fear? No enemies? See, these kind of messages don't make the top 20 list. These are the ones you would rather forget. But I pray to God you never forget it. Watchfulness includes an attitude of prayer. These end times, the proper attitude to have is a watchful attitude, a sober attitude, and a prayerful attitude. Don't get discouraged. Listen to me. With all the things that are happening, with all the things that are going on in this world, don't let it discourage you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't be discouraged. Listen, let me ask you. Maybe you're in a place of your life of failure, where you have failed God and you know you have failed God. And you know, I'm at a point where I know that I'm failing God and I failed God. Well, then so much the more is he merciful to you if you will just go to him and you will admit your failure to him. If you will humble yourself, then he will forgive you. And he will be merciful to you. I don't care what you've done or how long you've done it. If you'll go to God and you'll say, Lord, heal me. I've been wrong. I've not surrendered to you. I have fought you. I have defiled myself. I have hurt my walk with you, Lord. And he will forgive you because of Christ. Lord, I've gotten cold. He will forgive you. He is ever merciful. Turn to him. Share your failures and your weaknesses. He will not turn you away. He will forgive you. Harden not your heart. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Lay it all out to him. Hold nothing back. He is ever merciful. There is nothing that you cannot share with God. There is nothing that you need to hold back from him. Nothing. Take it all to him. Everything. He will not despise it. He will not. We also need to have an attitude of readiness. Verse number 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Whew. Be ye also ready. Right? He says in verse 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. What is the good man? Is a lazy man there. Right? He should have been watching at all four watches. So sometimes we fail to watch. Amen. There's no better time than now to get right with God. I can't think of a better time. If you are not right with God, to get right with God. There's no better time than right now. Amen. No better time. He is ever merciful. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. to be ready to stand at the judgment seat of Christ? To be ready to leave this world with all its cares, its troubles, anxieties for a better world? I think that you and I will have much peace in our afflictions when we start to turn our heads towards heaven. And we say, dear God, you're giving me this because you want me to remember how sweet heaven is and how this is not my home. And I have thought too much on my home here and not the one to come. So you have sent affliction my way. You have not gave me peace in my spirit because I have seen this as my home and it's not. And I will never, ever enjoy it like that. Do not think about all that you will give up, but think about all that you will gain. There's nothing on this earth that is not worth giving up for Christ. Nothing. 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 He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Amen. To be willing to be rid of many things that now burden us, that every Christian more or less feebly desires to be rid of. Oh, we will shake off when we go to glory. We will shake off sin, sorrow, sickness, appetites, disquiet. We really do have to surrender to our lives in heaven and put our treasures to be in heaven. We treasure things up too much here. We worry about our bank accounts. We worry about our investments. We worry about our future like that. I'm not saying it's not profitable to be wise. I think there's a call for that. But you know what? You're not going to take it with you when you go. And you don't impress God by how much money you have. To be ready to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, how do you expect to appear there? Our enemy is always ready to annoy us. Is he not? Should we not therefore look to our stand and be vigilant? Right? Solomon's wisdom, Lot's integrity, and Noah's sobriety felt the smart of the serpent's sting. Think about that. Noah was sober all through that 500 years, right? Or that 180 years of building that ark, right? Or no, 120, sorry. 120 years of building that ark. Boy, I got those numbers way off. 120 years of building that ark, right? Man. And probably the other 500 years he lived or whatever it was. But then he got off that boat. He had a spiritual victory. He was the last man standing, man. Right? What happened? He got drunk. After the victory. That was his downfall, his lack of his strength and his sobriety through all that, and then he falls to that. God help us. We are so weak and prone to wander. God strengthen our hearts, keep us. They all felt the smart of the serpent's sting. The first was seduced. Solomon. The second stumbled, and the third fell while the eye of watchfulness was fallen asleep. We have to be ready. We have to have an attitude of readiness, ready to fight Satan. A soldier not distracted, but on point. This speaks of what Paul did. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I'm going to tell you what, and this is plain as day. If you're entangled, you ain't fighting. And that's how it goes. That's how it works. If you're entangled, you lost your fight. You lost your fight. You got to get it back. Where do I get it back? You get it from God. God gives the fight. God gives the fight, and you got to get it back. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, God chose you to be a soldier. Do you know that? He saved you. He chose you. So you believe that? Of course I do. The Bible says it. What are you, a Calvinist? No, I'm a Biblicist. It says it. He said he chose him. Well, you want to argue with it? It's right there. Just plain Bible. I don't have to do any gymnastics to get around that. Right? It's right there. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do you understand that God chose you to be a soldier? Do you understand that you are one of his? That you were chosen to be his? So he chose you as a brand plucked out of the fire. He chose you. So then with that comes great responsibility. He saved your never-dying soul and made you one of his sons. And if you get entangled with this, the affairs of this life, you're going to be in trouble. You can't fight. You can't fight. You can't fight if you're entangled. Want a perfect example of it? Absalom. Absalom. His hair. His vanity. You know what that was? That was vanity being slain. That's what that was. That was the affairs of this world. That's what it was. Absalom taken with it. Taken up into the tree and caught in it, right? And couldn't get down. And three darts thrust through him. Dead. By his own vanity. Couldn't fight. He was stuck. He couldn't fight. You know what happens when you can't fight? Satan comes along and starts attacking your mind because you can't fight. You're so entangled, and he's just throwing those up, and you're ready to give up. You're ready to give up the fight completely. You're ready to go completely over to the devil's side. You're ready to completely go into the world. You're ready to completely go there. And if it weren't for the Spirit of God that's saying, oh, no, not so fast, son. You're not going to do that easy. No, 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 no. I called you by my name. I loved you with an everlasting love. I gave my life for you. I will not let you go. But I will chasten you. Because you are not a bastard, you are a son. And I will make you mine. And your soul and your heart will be vexed. And your mind will be troubled. And you will seek peace in all places except where you can find it. And that peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That peace is in God. That peace is in repentance. That peace is in the fruit of righteousness, which is sown in peace. That peace comes after the chastening comes. My brother-in-law told me that anywhere he is at on leave, he must be ready at all times to leave, board a plane, and get to his ship within 28 to 48 hours. He always has to be ready, no matter where he's at, to get on and to get back there. He's a soldier. He would call himself a sailor, but the point is he's a soldier, right? And he needs to be ready. Be ye ready also. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 21, verse number 34. You know, the Lord expects the same thing from you, for you to be ready. Luke chapter 21, verse number 34. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time, you know, God warns us over and over again, we should really take heed to ourselves and not so much everybody else. You know, when I see people overtly harder on others, I have to wonder why. And I believe one of the reasons for that is that they're not taking heed to themselves. Because when you're taking heed to yourself, you ain't got time to take heed to your neighbor. You're too busy getting that beam out of your own eye, right? You got a telephone-sized beam in your own eye, and you're out worrying about everybody else. No, we got to be more concerned with ourselves too. Now, we don't want to be morbid with that, but we do have to have some concern. Amen. What's he say here? And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. What does that mean? Well, surfeiting, we'll stop right there for a second, is the act of feeding to excess or gluttony, drunkenness, or be overcharged with drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. It could be anything. Anything that can distract us. The cares of this life. You say, but Pastor, those things aren't sinful. I didn't say they were sinful. The idolatry to them is sinful, though. It's when they are used as a way to distract you from Christ, when they are used as a way to fill up your time so you don't have to serve God, or so you don't serve God. Not that that is your initial motive. It never usually is. When we stray away from God, it's not like we're saying, well, I'm ready to stray away from God today. That's not how that happens. That isn't how that happens. It slowly creeps in. The coldness, the temperature gets colder, 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 colder until we see, why is my heart not stirred as it used to be? Why am I not? Why is the fire not burning like it used to? Take heed to yourself. We need to have an attitude of taking heed, of being ready. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. We got to be ready. Always ready. Always ready. Always ready. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We will stand before God. You will. Are you ready? Are you ashamed? Are you walking with Christ? Have you given your heart to the Lord? Are you walking with Him? Are you ready to meet your God? Would you want to, with the track record of whatever time, the last 1 or 2 months or year, would you feel pleased? Or would you feel concerned? Would you be concerned that my walk has not been what it should be? The fire is not burned in me like it should. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Watch. Have an attitude of sobriety. Have an attitude of watchfulness. Have a prayerful attitude. Have a ready attitude. To be ready always. We should always be ready. And if we are not, it is because we are distracted. Our Savior in these verses, from the uncertainty of the particular time when the day of judgment shall be, presseth upon His disciples a sober, heavenly, and holy life, intimating that by such a life only they can make themselves ready for the coming of Christ and stand before the Son of Man when He shall appear in His power and glory. He presseth this from that which common prudence would teach any householder, if he knew in what watch the night of the thief would come, to watch and not suffer his house to be broken open. That is, in what time of the night? For the Jews divided the night into first, second, third, and fourth watches, as the Romans divided it for relief of their military guards. Now saith our Savior, you, knowing that there will come such a time, and not certainly knowing of at what time, stand concerned to be always watching and praying, always ready, not distracted. Verse number 45, we need to have a faithful attitude. Faithful. Verse number 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant who his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Shall the Son of Man find faith on this earth? Will he find you faithful? Will you be found a faithful man? Will you be found faithful? Faithful to God. Let it be us. We need to be faithful in the midst of a cold, dead theological world. We need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Look, you need to get back into the fight. I'm going to tell you, you need to get back into the fight. You quit fighting. You got to get back into the fight. There's a war going on, and you're a part of it no matter what. And if you ain't fighting, you're getting beat down. That's just how it is. If you ain't fighting, you're getting beat down. Now you need to be done licking the wounds, and it's time to go. It's time to fight. You need to repent. You need to get your heart right with God, and you need to be ready. You need to have the right attitude in these end times. I'm telling you, with all that's going on, with everything that is coming, with all that God wants to do, what will your life be worth? What will you do with your life? Will you serve Christ with it? Will you give your life to God and service? Have you taken it back? I think so many times we've given it and then we take it back. We do. But listen to me, you don't have to stay that way. You can repent and get your heart right with God. You can. You can. God gives grace. And God is ever merciful to his children. And he will forgive them. And he will cleanse them of their unrighteousness. But not until you repent. Not until you drop the foolish pride. Not until you submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Weep and mourn. Turn. Have you been cold? Have you been rebellious? Then the best thing I can tell you to do is repent. That's the best thing I can tell you to do. That's the instructions that God gives. Throw up the white flag of your heart and surrender. Stop fighting God. Stop fighting the work of God. Stop fighting the Holy Spirit's work in you. Stop resisting God. Stop submitting to Satan and resisting God. You're doing it wrong. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Listen to me. The most miserable Christian is the one that does not submit to God, the one that is not surrendered to God. They are most miserable. I cannot tell you how absolutely miserable a person is if they are not submitted to God, if they are not surrendered to God, if they're trying to ride the fence, if they want one foot in the world and one foot in heaven, if they want one side in service to God and one in the world, it won't work. It won't work. It's time for humility. It's time to be humbled before the mighty hand of God. It's time to surrender to the Lord. It's time for you to give in. Stop ignoring. If you're wrong, it's time to get right. That's just it. That's all. Listen, it's not always easy, but it is simple. But it is a powerful thing to surrender to God. It is a powerful thing to place my ambition, my life, my dreams, my wants, my desires, and give them to Christ. And say, Lord, I have no idea what you're going to do with these, but I'm not my own. I have been bought and paid for with a price. And the price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Every precious drop that was shed for my soul. Every drop. And how can I shake hands with Satan? How can I shake hands with sin? How can I live comfortably with this world? The answer is you don't. It's miserable and you know it. Because God's children are never comfortable in sin. They're never comfortable in coldness and deadness. They're never comfortable in that. They're only comfortable when they walk with God. When they have communion with God. When they live on that plane that is higher than this earth, when they commune with God and they touch the hem of his garment and he
purifies them, and he gives them that moral purity. He gives them that moral energy. Are you cold? Well, you get a hold of Jesus, and you'll be warm. You'll warm up. God will stir the embers in your heart. He will revive your heart. He will make it new again. See, I am saved, I know. But you know what? We have to die to self, and that death of self goes over and over and over and over again, because we're always trying to resuscitate what God has marked, do not resuscitate. In case of death, do not resuscitate. Let it be stamped on our wicked flesh, right? But we're always resuscitating it. We're always waking it up again, aren't we? And we have to die to it over and over again. You say, well, I have failed, so I must not be a Christian. I don't know what Christian hasn't. I'm not making light of it. I'm just telling you that the longer you're saved, the more you'll realize how much you fail God. The closer I have walked with God, the more I have realized I have fallen short. However, the more I realize He's merciful and He will take care of you. But if you continue to harden your heart, He will break you. He will. And you must understand that it's love. Look, I've had the phone calls of people that just would not listen. I've dealt with those. They would not listen to the Lord. They would not submit to God. They would not obey Him. I've dealt with all of them. And they'll end up hating you. They'll end up getting angry with you. They'll end up blaming you for everything. Why? Because they don't want to get right with God. They don't want to get right with God. They don't want to submit themselves to God. And I'm telling you, that's what happens. You'll start getting mad at the messenger. But I'm used to it. Do you understand that? I'm used to it. And I love you, and it's okay. I'm not going to worry about you getting mad at me. I care about your soul. I want you to be right with God. I'm concerned for your heart. I'm concerned for your life. I'm concerned for your family. I'm concerned for your children being saved. I want them to grow up in holiness and truth and in righteousness. I want them to have the Spirit of God in them. I want them to be right with God. I want them to grow up and be fruitful. I want them to grow up and live good, godly lives. And when I'm in my grave and I'm with the Lord in heaven and my body goes in that grave, I want them to serve God for the rest of their lives. And I want to wait till all the records are settled and all the records come in to receive my reward. And I'm willing to shun the world and everything it has to offer us by God's holy grace to see that happen. Please do the same. Please understand that life does not consist in the things that we have. It consists in eternity. The sum total of our reward will never be here. Here, so send I you to be reviled. Do not be afraid to suffer reproach for Christ's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice. Rejoice. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, that you continue to stir the embers of love in our hearts. Lord, return us to a right standing with you in all things, Lord. Help us, Father, to take to heart all that we hear. May we not be drunken with the affairs of this life, but may we follow scriptural attitudes. May we have the right attitude these end times. May we not have the world's attitude. May we not be distracted, but may we be sober. May we be watchful. May we be prayerful. May we be ready. And may we be faithful. Oh God, my heart's desire is that I end this race faithful to you. Lord, if that's all that I do and nothing else happens, Lord, if I, by your grace, can finish faithful, Lord, it will be worth it all. Please, Father, make it so in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.